So developing this technique is really a mouthful, because your brain has to not only focus on where to hold the right hand, it has to be positioned in the right place all the time, right? And it also has to hold the pick in a certain way. And it has to apply an even amount of pressure, not too much pressure, because that will just wear the muscles down and make you tired in your hand, making it impossible for you to practice for very long. You also have to know or practice not picking too deep and not picking too shallowly. So that's a challenge too. And then at the same time, you have to work your left hand and really get the positioning right, and to, you know, fret the notes right and accurately. So there are tons of things to get right in the beginning. And that's part of the reason why it's a hockey stick development, because in the beginning you're not really developing speed. Of course you're picking a little faster every time you get something right, but you're developing accuracy, you're developing the basic technique, and that takes time as well. And as you do that, your brain is going to try and go into all sorts of methods to develop faster, which is just impossible. Every single method you develop will just slow you down. It might seem like, oh, I got speed now, but no, really, you haven't got speed. You've got a way to emulate what it sounds like when you have speed or when you have the right technique. And the more but your brain goes, oh, that's speed, and then that's a reward in itself that's going to increase the likelihood that you will actually use this stupid technique or this erroneous way of picking or fretting or whatever it is. And that's going to be built into your overall technique, and it's going to slow you down. Each one of these ineffective methods is going to put a barrier to how good you can become. So it might feel like you have an extra advantage there until you reach a certain level, and then you can't go beyond that because you're using an ineffective strategy. So the whole challenge here of getting there in the fastest way possible is really to have the patience and the focus to just stay with it and just develop that incredibly accurate and perfect technique there in the beginning. And then as that grows better, speed will follow. And what really happens is that you have to be very, very patient, as I said, and you have to be very focused on developing the technique. So you keep doing it. And what happens in the beginning is that you're going to compensate, and that's the first strategy that the brain uses immediately. You're going to try and compensate for lack of control by using force. So you're going to use a lot of energy in your left and right hand to do the job, to get the job done. And there's a specific reason for this, because when you do something that the brain is not made to do, really, that is so alien to the brain, it's going to try and do it. It's going, okay, let's fret the notes. And it's going to try and do it using strategies that are not really very effective. And so that's one part of the brain that's going to do that. And then another part of the brain that you're going to try and control is going to try to override these signals from the brain. Because the brain is going to say, okay, what are we doing? Are we holding a fork? Are we using a knife? What are we doing here? Are we picking our nose? What's the pattern of movement that you're trying to get me to use? But so it's going to try and just engage in all sorts of strategies that it knows already. So we're pushing buttons, right? No, we're not. We're trying to play guitar, dear brain. We're not pushing elevator buttons or using a knife. It's going to just search and probe and say, okay, we want to reach that fret. Let's use a technique that we've used for something else. and it's going to just freak out for a long time and try to use all different stuff that it knows already. And you are going to try and stop it from doing that. And so you're going to try and work against the brain. One part of the brain is trying to engage in a strategy it knows already, because that's what the brain is best at. Another part of the brain is trying to keep it from doing that and instead doing something else. So you have two signals trying to work the hands. So we have one signal sending one signal and then another signal to the same hand. And that's when you're using a lot of force, because then you are going to use willpower and strength to get the job done. So when you get when you've done it for long, the result is that you're only going to use as much energy as required to do the job, because that's what the brain always does when it knows something. It's not going to use more energy than needed. Why should it do that? That would just pull away energy from life-supporting activities like fixing your liver and having the blood run through your veins. So it will never do that. But when you're practicing in the beginning, and the beginning is at least a couple of months, then it's going to use, you are going to use force, because if you do this with your hand and you really apply pressure to it, then you know that you can more precisely hit a point, because you have more control, because you assume control over the brain, over the patterns of movement, if you use a lot of force. But the point you're getting to is the point where you're just, you know, the alternate picking is just wham. It's just not using any more energy. You're completely relaxed, just firing off a pattern that you know already, and that the brain knows how to do just effortlessly. And that's the point we want to get to. But until we get there, you are going to use more energy than needed to get the job done. That's okay. But if you want to get there faster, you have to pull back from that pattern, because you can't practice for hours if you use that much energy. So you at least have to get to the point where your body can replenish the energy, the ATP in your muscles as you practice. And if you get above that level, if you use more force than the body can replenish, then you have a problem, because then you're going to be fatigued gradually, and then that puts a limit to how far you can practice. I can practice all day because I don't use more energy than the body can refill, so to speak. So you have to focus consciously on not using more energy than you absolutely need to get the job done. And sometimes that means pulling back on the speed, going back a few notches, so you don't practice as fast. Because if you practice on your top level all the time, then you're going to, the top level meaning where you don't use, where you don't make mistakes. Where you don't make mistakes. That's your top level. As fast as you can go, where you don't make mistakes at all. That's your top level of practicing. When you play, that's a different story. But when you practice, you don't make mistakes. And you might have to pull back from that max speed there to get enough room to be able to relax more in your hands. And then have that be your practice level when you sit down in front of the TV or you work with the metronome. And I know this seems counterintuitive, because we want to get that, we want to play fast. So pulling back seems, ugh, I really have to do this. But, and that's why it's so hard for so many people to develop this kind of technique, because the brain is working against itself in this process. And you have to be the conscious one and say, this makes sense on a mental level. What Klaus is saying makes sense on a mental level. So I'm going to impose my will on the brain and on my hands and practice just a little slower than I need to be able to relax and to be able to go for longer periods so that I can get in more repetitions in a day. So that's really the key piece of advice here, and a distinction that you really want to take with you and use every single day. And now let's move on to something completely different. I hope you'll use, you pick that from the last week, you pick that special little challenge, that special lick, that special one string alternate picking lick, whatever level you're on, and then you decide and commit to reaching mastery levels, and I mean the best in the world, the fastest your body can go with absolute accuracy and control. Reach that level with that one thing and get there 10 times faster or 20 times, depending on how many things you used to practice. And then you spend 80%, 75 to 80% of your practice time just hammering away at that one challenge. Be a one challenge guy. And then you can use 20 to 25% of your remaining time to practice other things and to look into other technical aspects of playing. But at least, and then if you get tired of that, you do that for a month and then you get tired of that one challenge, then maybe you want to take that seriously and then practice something completely different for 2 weeks and then return to that one challenge when you can. Have respect for yourself and for the fact that you're super bored with just playing that one thing. And then say, okay, if I'm going to play that one thing for as many hours as it takes to get to the end result, then I have to take a break now. Then I have to go play some songs. Then I have to practice some bluesy stuff and some phrasing, some groovy stuff, and so that I can return to that. And then you do that for 2 weeks or 1 week or 1 day or 2 days or for 1 month even. But then you return to that same challenge again. You just hammer away at it slowly, precisely, accurately in front of the TV or work with the metronome, whatever works for you. And you get in those millions of repetitions. You carve your way through to the end result using just one challenge. And then everything will be open to you after that. Those are the end words for today. Then go on to the next section of this week. And I hope to see you in the next video.